Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Marvel 30 Questions, Secret Invasion 30 Questions, a show where each week we'll ask 30 questions about the Marvel Disney Plus show Secret Invasion. I am your host, Adam Portress, and joining me today, I'm sure he's still a Skrull, Sweet Shanta Kovacs from the internet.
This is the last time we have to say the word Skrull.
Oh, and he's been a Skrull since day one, Bruce Leslie.
Nanu Nanu, Shazbot.
All those things and more. And that is it, everybody. We are getting into it, man. The last episode of Secret Invasion. We got to just wrap it all up in one way, shape, or form. We asked 30 questions on this show, and boy, oh, boy, we ask you guys to chime in, and boy, oh, boy, did you ever this week. And let's get it going with question numero uno. This comes to us from King Solomon's Frog. He writes, not to cast blame, but I think someone forgot to press send on the podcast last week, but I totally understand because I forgot the Secret Invasion was on every week and I forgot to send in my questions to you guys every week. So we all are forgetting that we watched this show and what this show was about. That comes from King Solomon's Frog. I think that's true.
Did you forget to press send on the podcast last week?
Yeah, I got through everything and I just didn't hit the final publish.
So, like, is it published?
No, it's there now. It's just, no, it took a day.
Okay. I thought it would be kind of interesting if you just, like, you know what? We're going to skip episode five.
Skip it.
It was like Tuesday afternoon when I got around to listening to it. And I was like, hey, Adam, I'm totally willing to believe that it's something on my end but I'm not getting the newest episode.
And someone had even told me Monday, and I was just like, and I was ready to go home and do it, and I was just shot. I was just so dead from work. I'm like, I'll lay down for 5 minutes. Next thing you know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
You got people asking for front rent when you ain't even got the back rent.
Exactly. And I'm just like, oh, that's right. I did wake up that morning.
Dr. Dan Dew right there.
Publishing in out there. But yeah, I think we all kind of forgot that this was a thing from time to time. Bruce, number two.
Isn't it funny how this show pretends like we'd actually do something if Russia invaded a neighboring country? Like, this had to have been made before the invasion of Ukraine, right?
I'm not 2 years in the making.
Yeah. So it did seem a little bit strange. It's just like, we'll just let them do what they do.
Norway, and then World War III breaks out. And I was like, no, I'm betting it doesn't. I've seen something similar, and it didn't break out.
It's just kind of staying localized and stuff, and we just continue to send pallets of cash and other crap over. So, you know, it's fine.
Well, you can't afford student loan bailout here. $75 billion for whatever.
Old, he's coming up there. He's just going, hey, we appreciate everybody doing all the stuff. We still need some more, though. I'm like, what are you guys doing with this?
Or just tell me that wartime accountability isn't the tightest either.
No.
You got to give the president credit. He doesn't know where he is. So
no, that one too. Yeah.
Number three, Sean. I should not have opened up with such a ugly question.
Do you think Emilia Clarke did more character work for her role in Solo, A Star Wars Story, or Secret Invasion?
Have you guys ever heard of a game called Monkeys Equals Monkeys?
I have.
I just heard about it.
Yeah, it's sweeping the nation.
I think this is a monkeys equals monkeys situation where she put the exact same amount of work into both of them.
Which is to say, none.
So or I'm just a gonna... lot. I mean, we don't know what she... We don't see much variation, so I don't know what she would be like if she put less prep into it.
I think she rolled up to set. I think that they put some wardrobe on her. While they were putting the wardrobe on and some makeup, she went over her lines and then she walked onto set. I think that that's what she did.
Yeah,
I don't have to wear nothing but a white wig. I'm all for it.
Yeah, put a little Martin or Marlon Brando action. Just put her lines on some cue cards, slap them to the different walls and stuff. So she just kind of pensively looking.
Just had Lockheed fly in and land on her shoulder just for the heck of it.
Lockheed Martin has a Marvel presence. Anyways, number four. Why wasn't this episode two or three of this 6-episode series? You seem to do something super interesting with getting this Super Skrull in here, and then we just quit all of a sudden.
Yeah, that man.
It felt like I was like, wow, we are getting into this. Like, we got the Super Skrull's character. This guy finally has motivation. This girl's finally moving. Things are actually starting to happen, and the show's over.
I feel like this show must have started when somebody still thought we can throw anything on the screen. If it's got a Marvel logo, it's going to be a hit. Like this feels like they're just all over the place.
Yeah, riding clearly high on that Mando money.
Clearly what happened is that they were like, okay, so this is where we're starting. we're starting with Fury dealing with the blip and how he dealt with the blip. And we have to end up with him being back to zero. And now there's a Super Skrull. Like, literally, that's what they did. And then everything in between is just people staring at each other.
It's filler. It's like no one wants to say it. And like, and yeah, there's story elements, character elements, whatever. But here's the thing. Ultimately, what does it lead to? Jack. It leads to nothing. Yeah.
When a comic book series is written this way, we call it all filler, no killer. So mm-hmm. I think that's what this show is.
100%. I'm right there with you. Number five.
So this question comes to us from Carl from Boodley. And I don't know anything about Boodley, but I love the name, Carl. So anyway, the question is, love the show, guys. Which is more than can be said for Secret Invasion? My question, why is Gravik apparently so surprised when Gaia Fury as Captain Marvel powers when he switched the DNA machine on whilst she was on the platform with him? And why has not one review I've read mentioned this dreadfully contrived bit of plotting? Cheers, guys, from Carl. So, Carl, I'm with you, man. I guess, you know, you would think if I were a shapeshifter, I would be the most paranoid person on the planet. Because if I could do it and I would know the shady crap I was up to, everybody I meet's a suspect.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, I know what I would do with this, so I'm just going to assume everybody else is going to be at least as bad as me, maybe worse.
Double covering my chowder buckets, I'll tell you that right now.
I it really feels like, and it has from the beginning of the show, is that we need to get here. Like, that's what this show feels like. Mm-hmm. Each episode is like, well, we need to get here. This is where we need to be.
Man, you're right. This does feel like work. Like, yeah. It's, you got to sit in the library and watch this video. You got to log in and log out to get credit for the class. We're not going to give you any questions about it on the test, but you have to sit there and stare at the screen for the credit. Like, this really feels like those kind of college assignments.
And, you know, I know that there are people who want to badmouth, you know, Marvel's gone woke and so blah, blah, blah. Marvel, it's more than that. Like maybe you're angry that you're seeing people of color and ladies with superpowers. Maybe that's what you're so mad about. However, what you should actually be mad about is just how bad the writing has gotten, specifically with this show, but even former shows. Like, I can't tell you much of anything that happened on Moon Knight at this point. You know, I know that there's three different personalities and we only learn about the third one basically at the end of the show.
Yeah.
That is bad writing.
Have you guys heard the announcement for season two of that yet?
Nope.
No.
Don't think I would. Yeah, I would venture to guess. Yeah.
Hold yeah. Yeah. Let me hold it. Number six. Do you think Samuel L. Jackson has seen a second of this show? And if he has, do you think he liked it?
I think he's reached that point in life where you're a certain age that every breath might be your last, and you are not going to waste a single one of them on this.
Yeah, I think on that last day, like, you know, they were like, all right, Sam, we're going to come in for the martini shot here. And he's like, start my car.
It's Michael Caine. I haven't seen the movie, and by all accounts, it's awful. But the house I bought with the check, gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sam Jackson has never been one to be shy about saying he does roles for money. He's yes. So I wouldn't be shocked if he's just like, I don't give a sweet crap. It cleared and I'm getting some good money on this. And that's it. That's all I'm going to do.
You know how I kind of jumped on you, Adam, during our far more popular show, yes, when you called something a product. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, don't call this a product.
This is the product, though.
This is a product.
Yeah.
This is definitely a product. It feels like one. It does not feel like anyone took any artistic joy in making this thing. You can feel it just watching it. It feels like we need content, so let's make a 6-episode show with Samuel L. Jackson. And people will show up because it's Samuel L. Jackson playing Nick Fury. Mm-hmm. And they were wrong about that. 3 people showed up. It was us. and and a handful of viewers.
And I want to go back to, this is like a chickens coming home to roost, a problem that has kind of grown a little bit each time they've done it. But I could tolerate it because they were giving me good stuff, and I think they thought they could get away with it. But when you use a name from the comics, but the story is only barely connected with that name from the comics, Secret Invasion had some great storylines that they could have really built some fun stuff with, particularly if they had attacked Wakanda. You know, like the full-on-out attack on Wakanda was my favorite part of that storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like that. This is just, man, this is just like Cylons. This is just a poor rip off of Battlestar Galactica. This isn't even, you know, this is not Secret Invasion to me.
But I mean, even Battlestar Galactica, man, like, you know, the two things that I think about when I think about that show is just the mental jujitsu that a lot of the characters have to do to be okay with what they're doing, specifically when it comes to the Cylons themselves, right? And I think that there is none of that in this.
I think the larger scale nature of the comic books made it have its own sort of unique feel to me. And when I say it's just like the Cylons of Battlestar Galactica, what I mean is that it feels derivative and uninspired. I'm not saying it's equal in quality, but it didn't feel derivative when you add the, okay, we've wiped out all the Earth. Now all we got to do is take out this tiny backwards African nation. And then we're completely conquering the whole world. And then they just get their butts handed to them by the Wakandans. Mm-hmm. That was an awesome storyline.
It was.
Number seven is a little bit more of a, this is a quote, but it's not from one that anyone has written.
See, I thought that Ali Salim had sent us a email.
Ali Salim would probably be sending one that's a lot more rude than this. But this is what, when someone asked him about reviews, the director of this entire series, all six episodes. Oh, I don't read reviews. With all due respect, for me, I view the storytelling work as I do a dialogue with an audience. When the show is finished and they put up on the screen, that's my half of the dialogue, and the audience then starts their half of the response to it. I think that's valuable, but I don't know. I don't feel bad about the mixed reviews. If you had a unanimously good reviews, every movie would gross $10 billion trillion, right? I would love it if everybody loved it, but I also don't have that expectation of myself, so I feel great about the response to it. That is Ali Salim, the director of these six episodes. And isn't this what people say when they know they've screwed up, right?
This is what they say when they don't want to get hired for something that's expected to make a big profit.
I don't know. To me, it was just like, this seems like, well,
Jerry Maguire, man. This is him saying we should make less money. Are you with me?
Yeah, this is his treatise, is just going, no, we need to sink it. That's his thing. He's going into, he has to save Marvel by destroying it. Is that what you're saying?
We have to make less money. Are you with me?
I don't know. It just, to me, that screams of someone who realizes they didn't make something that's all that great and just has to, because listen, I've done it. Who hasn't? Who amongst us hasn't put out something just like, listen, I don't need to hear the praise of other people for the things that I do. It's just, something that I got it. No, you're just trying to realize that you've got a crap product on your hand and you just go, well, people didn't like it.
Hey, Adam, I have a question for you. Do you know where Ali Salim made his nut?
Not particularly, no.
I don't either. I'm looking through his filmography here, and there's nothing jumping out at me.
That animated movie, The Nut Job, which is like a squirrel remake of The Italian Job.
Do you want to know?
That's a really good joke.
Do you want to
know? The thing I'm wondering here, you look at things like what he's done in the past, and it's just like for hire stuff, where, you know, he directs an episode of a bunch of shows I've never even heard of before, and then like Criminal Minds and Treatment. Like there's nothing here that calls itself out to, oh, we need to put this guy in charge of our show. I'm not understanding that.
Yeah, it's probably just like, here's somebody that we think that we can kind of, and it was, to be frank, this is the Marvel kind of MO, is like, here's somebody that we can boss around.
A safe hire that won't interfere with our vision.
Yeah, he's just going to do what we tell him to do, and like, you know, he'll do a fine enough job for it. It'll be a program that reaches the air. You know, if you can successfully deliver this program, I think you'll be fine. And that's pretty much where I feel like this show's been going.
Down.
Good.
All right. Question number eight.
If the president, this question comes to us from a listener. If the president was this badly hurt, the vice president would have been sworn into office and would have taken over. My question is, do the writers of the show need to be reminded of how the U.S. government works? This is basic high school stuff. Heck, at the very least, they could have watched The West Wing. They probably need to relearn it, seeing how in this universe, the UN has actual power. That comes from Mark Sadowski of the Marcus Sadowskis. But
first of all, Mark Sadowski is a solid name, by the way.
Here's what's interesting, though, Mark, is I think they got this right in Iron Man 3. Because they had the whole vice president, or was it Iron Man 3?
It is. It's Iron Man 3 because they're the vice president is trying to take over for the president.
And is it Miguel Ferrer? I can't even remember who it was that was the vice president. But anyway, it was a cool actor too. But they've gotten this right before, which is why it's weird that they don't hear. But I'll also say 100% does track on comic book logic, though.
Man, you're not wrong. In like Silver Age logic that. Yeah. I want to be president because I need to be president. Silver Age logic. You know, this is the thing that Adam and I.
There was a whole Silver Age comic about a teenager who got elected president by mistake.
Prez. Yeah.
Yes, Prez.
This is the thing that Adam and I have railed against each episode of the show, which is once the president gets to the hospital, how ridiculous the hospital looks, how there's no one in that hospital, that it looks like a mid-market hospital instead of a state-of-the-art facility
where
like
you'd the send president the president. Yeah,
it's so everything about this screams let's just get through it, and you, it's even in the writing where like there is the line of secession where we haven't had any kind of talk about that in this show. It's just the president is going to continue to be the president because gosh darn it, he wants to be. And it is, it's straining credulity at places that you don't need to. It's an easy layup, man. If you just add a line.
Not that fictitious though, to have a president who doesn't want to give up power.
Well, you're right.
Number 9, Sean.
As three white guys, we're the perfect people to answer this question. Do you think any black people watch this show?
Oh, man.
Hey, white people don't watch this show. How could black people watch this show? That's like, I honestly haven't heard anybody of any type talking about this show. It just doesn't, it doesn't exist out there. So like,
I'll put it this way. If there's anybody who says this is their favorite show, they're just as likely to be of any single ethnicity.
Yes. Agreed.
I don't think this slants in one direction or the other.
It just feels like something where, there should be like, if I'm an African-American nerdlinger, like I would rally around this if it were any good at all. And it's just not.
Yeah. If Sam Jackson was walking around in this show being a complete BA, this show would sell. But we don't have that. We have him sitting around talking to his Skrull wife, who we never see in Skrull form. That's what the kids want, I guess.
That's not true. They smooch when she's a Skrull. Make out
we're tall all day.
Those are wet kisses. Too,
you pump the brakes on that. That's
maybe
coming later in the show.
Wet kisses.
Wet puppy dog kisses with Adam and Sean.
Wet kissing an alien. That's what listening to our podcast is like. Most people think it's disgusting, but a few guys are a little too into it.
Do you guys remember when Mr. Show first came on, the slogan of Mr. Show with Bob and Dave? Slogan of the show was, it's like having a clown in your head.
Oh, no.
I like it.
So good.
Crying into the night. Number 10. When you're the president of the United States and you're being presented with two arguments, one from a man calmly telling you the situation and asking for war not to be started, and another telling you that you're going to get rid of all of your enemies, don't you think that your first move should just be to immediately call off the strike until you have more information? That comes from Bo from Oklahoma City.
Bo, where have you been the last 30 years, man? Come on. Rid of all my enemies. Heck yeah. That's what
any
party at any time would probably say.
Yeah, they're willing to do anything. And especially if you think that you can just do it with a flip of the switch, why not?
You only become president for one reason, and that's to rub it in people's faces.
You said I wouldn't be anyone. Well, now I'm the president.
But yeah, like, so Rhodey is just kind of going like, well, listen, you got to strike and you got to strike now. What's wrong with you? Let's keep doing it. Like any sane person would just be like, all right, this guy seems like he wants this way too much. So I feel like I got to pump the brakes on that.
There is a bunch of red flags when it comes to Rhodey on the show, though, where, you know, I mean, we were guessing, and by we, I mean, just the general public, were guessing that Rhodey was a Skrull from the first episode in, right?
Yeah.
And so to have that reveal happen in episode 4, is it?
Three or four.
And it's just like, you are way, way too far behind on this plot line. So now that we know that Rhodey is a Skrull, to have it, now we're 2 more episodes in and not everybody in the world knows that Rhodey's a Skrull. What are we doing?
Circling the drain, it feels like.
My God, man.
Number 11.
Do you think any Marvel projects in production are going to be halted and retooled?
I'm sure some are halted on account of strike stuff going on right now.
That's why I put the question here, because it's the perfect excuse if they wanted to pump the brakes on a bunch of crap.
Well, I mean, it's a smart move because they're going to need take time. And I think retooled is a very good word. And I wouldn't be shocked if they went back and were like, we need to gather our sources and just kind of like, what's working? What's not working? What has served us well? What is not serving us well? And most of it has not been serving. So
I think did Bob Iger even have kind of a big mea culpa this past week?
He has 2 weeks ago when it came to Marvel and Star Wars television.
Yeah.
So who knows?
I will tell you that it basically depends. We will know how much Disney cares about Marvel with these next projects that are coming, like Echo and things like that they've been working on.
Right. Cause that's all canon.
That's already in the can. I think that when it comes to that next phase, like 2024, end of 2024, 2025, that's when we'll know how much Disney cares about Marvel. Because if we see a systemic change in the way that we're presented with these things, we will know that they care greatly.
Yeah, if all of a sudden we're starting to see more of these kind of Marvel one-shots and stuff like that, we'll start to go,
which
okay.
We should. I mean, we've been banging the drum on this for a year and a half now.
At least. Give us these mini things. Make us want it. Again, that's what all of these things should be doing, is making us want to watch this stuff.
I expected that Werewolf by Night to sort of open some floodgates, you know? And
yeah.
And it's still May. But that's at least that's a dangling participle that you can kind of go back to if and you want to.
Well, that's also a good name for a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh man. It's also, though, just the fact that it was so successful at its one-shot format, I'm surprised, like, not related story-wise, but just that one shot that's really cool and stylized and clearly influenced by something else you can recognize so that you're interested to watch.
It's so fun. Werewolf by Night is such a fun one shot. And as was the Guardians Christmas special. I love that too. You know, they're basically two for two with that. You can do the thing that they've been needing to do for a long time with a one shot, especially if it's like a one shot series, you know, like give us a 6 episode one shot thing where, like, listen, we don't know if these characters are going to, we don't know how this is going to turn out, but let's give it a shot like they did with the comic books in the first place.
And you can say this though, like, while it may not have been up everybody's, you know, alley and everything, at least, like, you know, WandaVision was going in a weird and interesting direction. You didn't know where that show was going, at least. At least that was weird and strange. You may not have liked it, but it wasn't the same feeling thing. This show, Secret Invasion, feels generic.
You're basically what you're trying to say is that clearly choices were made.
Yeah, this is like, exactly. They were going in with an interesting idea, a weird, quirky take. And that's what these things need. They need their own selling thing. And we thought Secret Invasion would be the thing to sell Secret Invasion. But shock of shocks, we ain't in vague crap.
I'll just say, out of all the Marvel Disney Plus series, there's not a Mandalorian in the bunch.
Nope.
No.
Agreed.
Number 12, Sean.
Will people talk less about Secret Invasion or Blue Beetle?
This is such a great question. On this one? Please.
Yeah. Because I think Blue Beetle is going to be late night monologue punchline. I think Blue Beetle is going to get mentioned in derogatory fashion. But like Secret Invasion, you make that the punchline to your joke, then you have to explain it.
It's true.
People don't even know what the heck that is.
Yeah. Yeah. That may be true. At least.
Like, but Secret Invasion is like, I didn't even know that existed, is what the conversation is going to be in 3 years, not even that far from now.
Yeah. But and as a matter of fact, Blue Beetle is being set up to be just a punchline for the next month, 2 months after it comes out. I mean, it's going to get killed.
Yeah. If Shazam takes a dump, if Shazam 2 takes a dump at the box office, you know Blue Beetle ain't going to do jack.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Number 13, do you think if I was in government that I would talk to people like Rhodey does in this show? Just walking up to people like he just smack talks every single person and does not care. And I love it so much.
I'd say if you did, however you would talk to people, what happened during your probationary period and you would no longer work?
That is also very true. I've gotten so much better, though.
I think that you will try your best not to speak like that. Mm-hmm. And then you would speak incorrectly to the wrong person.
That's how
and then it's over.
That's how it tends to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, sometimes there's just certain things where it's just like, you know, the old monkey in your brain goes, you're just going to say that. Just go ahead and say it. And then you don't even get to that second say it. You've already just said it by the time he starts to say that second say it. So. Number 14.
This is another listener question. It says, the last thing I want to do is ask this question. We all know how difficult it is to write a script, but here we go. If Secret Invasion had received massive praise, would we have been told, surprise, we hired a writer to use an AI program to pen this series just like the opening credits? Aren't you surprised? I am led to this thought because when I realized there was no suspense in their espionage TV show, I then realized there is no emotion anywhere in the series at all. All I see is the blended, bland mishmash of a story, a murky, semi-coherent attempt that now falls into an uncanny valley for me. Is the real alien invasion, the artificial intelligence invasion happening before our eyes? Kev, a.k.a. no mention of Kev, a.k.a. Will Billy. And if AI is this bland, we will win the war, Will Billy.
I did not put this together before I read this question. I believe you are correct. I think that there's definitely a human hand behind this for certain aspects of it, but I think they are experimenting with that.
I will say that I did have AI make part of my recent hip hop music video, and it does have that kind of bland feel to it.
It's one of the things that where it feels, this show does not feel like I said before, like it doesn't feel like there's anyone who cares about this. I mean, even Nick Fury.
Even Nick Fury doesn't care about this show. Yeah.
Even Samuel Jackson, like there's no feeling of, oh, someone's heart and soul went into this thing on any level, anywhere.
No.
And, you know, Kev, I'm going to tell you, I think this is my new favorite theory. And I'm definitely going to sarcastically talk about this where like, well, you know, at least it isn't written by AI like Secret Invasion was. Like, I'm just going to say that like it's fact now. Because it's
the new gerbil, you know where.
It's the you know what this feels like. This feels like the thing where it's the best excuse for this being so poor, for being so bad. Like it's way worse if humans wrote this. Let's put it that way.
I think that's the big thing though. Think about this. It's like. This is what a person did. Could you imagine how worse an AI might be at this? This could be worse, people. Could be.
I used to play this mobile game where for a while I tried to convince people I was an AI bot playing the game. That was a lot of fun.
Say bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.
Number 15, for 10 years, Marvel rewarded its fans who watched everything. For instance, there was more nuance to the movie Civil War if you had already seen Iron Man 3 and Winter Soldier. So why do you think Marvel is punishing us now?
They've got our money. We've got your money. We had enough of a goodwill for you built up over these years. And now we've just decided to squander that and just take your money until you stop giving us that money.
It starts with two people who've been there from the beginning saying, hey, you guys heard about this Bobby Bonilla thing? You can keep getting paid way beyond your productivity if you twist the contract early on.
But that wasn't Bobby Bonilla who made that contract. That was really terrible planning from the Mets.
I recently found out, too, that as a Cincinnati fan, King Griffey Jr. is still like our third highest paid player. So,
oh, wow. Really? I didn't know that
either, but he's actually gets paid more a year than Bonilla now.
I think that's why he got that smile on his face all the time.
It's a I told him I'd not play for him.
I told him I'm willing to not play for half that.
I'll sit on the bench, I swear.
And if you've ever seen me play, it's money well spent to keep me off the field.
Number 16, should we have gotten a Nick Fury show instead of Secret Invasion? Does that make
Stop
sense?
Stop there, don't say the other part.
All right.
So the Nick Fury show instead of Secret Invasion, that would be interesting, right? If you make it more of like that, who is that writer's name?
Starenko.
Starenko, thank you. Like if you make
it
more
at a picture of him now, so it was on my mind.
if you're making it more like a Starenko show, that is fun. Like that makes this very interesting. Whereas what we got is just hot garbage. I think a Nick Fury show where he's like, you know, like totally mod spy, like that's way cooler than what we got here.
And you got to bring back Starenko's title too. It's Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
I mean, like what a cool show that we could have to just come, because at the end of the day, we have not really seen Nick Fury be Nick Fury ever, really. We kind of got like the story of this ghost that started this whole thing, and then that's been about it. And not on top of that, we neuter him within this entire series itself, just basically saying, if it weren't for the Skrulls, Nick Fury wouldn't be Jack Squat to begin with.
I did not put that together. You are right. That there is nothing that makes him special if the Skrulls are the ones who are doing all of the reconnaissance for him, all the information gathering.
They nerfed Nick Fury big time.
I did not put that together. You are absolutely right.
You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that the White House announces they have knowledge of extraterrestrials and then they give them their own TV show here. I think that this is wokeism at its worst. They're entering to these new extraterrestrials.
All these extraterrestrials coming in here and getting their own television programs. I won't have it.
Kind of weird nobody's talking about that. But anyway, number 17, are we ready for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Secret War going to be just an extension of Invasion, or will it be an actual adaptation of the Secret Wars comics?
I'm not thinking it's got to have a damn thing to do with Secret Wars.
There's no way, man. There's no way that, like, maybe someone named the Beyonder will show up, but
it's got to be Disco Stew Beyonder.
There's very little chance where that it's going to be even remotely like the Secret Wars we knew as children.
I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if the idea gets mixed all together.
At this point, you know, the 1-2 punch of people being sick of this stuff and the person they were going to build the phase around getting sort of canceled. Yeah, it wouldn't be bad for them to just start clean. Mm.
You know, the other thing with Marvel that I've noticed a massive drop off in is there was really some inspired casting of people earlier, you know, that inspired casting is no longer there, right? Like when we were hearing rumors about who was going to be the Fantastic Four, it was people that made you roll your eyes, right? Like Margot Robbie should not be Invisible Girl. And
Adam Driver.
Kylo Ren. Yeah, Adam Driver should not be.
Oh, do you know who else they just put out that somebody said that they were putting out feelers or whatever for Doctor Doom?
I don't.
Cillian Murphy.
Dwayne Johnson. Oh, okay. Cillian Man. Murphy?
What a bad... I like Cillian phone. Murphy as an actor. Is he? He's the worst choice for Dr. Doom.
That is a very bad choice.
Just wrong.
It's completely uninspired.
I say Nestor Carbonell for Dr. Doom.
Sure.
Hey, I love the lashes. Wait, did it have the mask? Never mind. Not Nestor Carbonell.
Oh, but you got to have those so you can kind of see who's in that mask. You know what I'm talking about?
I think it should be J.B. Smoove.
I'm all for it, man. That
JB Smoove is Dr. Doom.
You get Kevin Hart as Reed Richards. This works, man. Tiffany Haddish as Sue.
Listen, I'm not one to go like, hey, we should start swapping the races, but you're starting to sell me on this one.
Ben Grimm, Earthquake.
Wait, listen, you know, we got to stop this or they're going to start stealing
Johnny
from
Storm,
us.
Johnny Storm, bring back Chris Evans.
Yes. Have the white guy be in there. That's
amazing. Now that is some inspired casting.
That I think everybody could get behind. Finally.
Number 18. This show was hyped as Marvel's version of Andor. After viewing it, I think a better description is that it's Marvel's version of Dad TV. Are you fans of Dad TV shows? Amazon's Reacher and Jack Ryan are good examples. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, and that's from Justin Strawn, a.k.a. St. Kitts from the Main Attraction podcast.
Now, for me, the perfect definition of a dad show, and this happened to me in college when I had no friends and I was at home on like a Saturday night with a 40-ounce and a rabbit ears on my TV, and I watched a made-for-TV movie, Jim Rockford Returns, in the new Rockford Files. That's dad TV. This isn't as cool as that.
But modern day dad TV, which, by the way, my dad is a dad TV kind of guy. He is all about the, you know, your Reachers and stuff like that. And he's read all those books. So like my dad is absolutely the dad guy show. And he is not super week to week on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So even then, that this is not even bringing him in to where he gives two craps about this. And this should be something that is up his alley like nothing else.
Yeah, you know, my wife's important video moments from high school and childhood, her dad taped over all of them with episodes of JAG. So that's bad TV.
What JAG?
Wow.
Jack was one of those shows that was also on the air for like way longer than anybody realized. Yeah, those CBS shows were like, Jack's been on for 15 years. You're like, get the what? No.
I swear it was 7 seasons before I realized it wasn't NCIS.
You exactly. Guys know what season Bob's Burgers is on? I just learned this.
12.
I would have probably said 8, 7, 8 maybe.
14.
Holy moly. Wow.
Now, yeah. Have you seen some of these reality shows that crank out 4 seasons a
year? But that's different, man. They just crap those out because they're easy to produce
and they generate money.
And it's basically a one for one. Like there's when I see very like little left on the cutting room floor.
When I see Survivors going into season 47, I do the math and I know it's not been 47 years. You know, so that always throws me. Filled.
You remember when you were one?
Like, I don't think you should count more than one season per year, personally.
Agreed. Number 19, we flip a switch and what do you know? All the people are out of their mind control bondage or whatever. What wacky person should we have seen coming out of that cave as a reason for why they've been the way they've been? Kanye was a Skrull? This explains a lot. Also, would you be like Vera and let someone call you the wrong name for 20 plus years? I mean, I know at least 6 to 8 years, but 20 plus?
I'll tell you, man. Oh, I like the idea that somebody whose work you really wish you could still like would come out of there. And it was the Skrull who did it. I mean, I can't even say like the names I'm thinking because people are like, oh, you want to rehab this person. But yeah, I kind of like really like the work of some people that are terrible people.
Or even just like just strange old weirdos, you know?
Yeah. Or, you know, you have a couple of chasers like Ronaldo comes out, you know, and you're like, oh, Ronaldo was a Skrull the entire time. That's why he was so good at
Andy
at
Rooney was a Skrull.
You need somebody staring at Emo Phillips waiting for him to turn into a Skrull, and he goes, no, it's just me the whole time.
Basically we're talking about the Men in Black joke, right? I mean,
yeah,
because Men in Black does this a lot.
you know what? That's probably why they didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, no. Oh, no. It would have been humorous and fun, and that's why they wouldn't do it. Come on.
You don't want to tread on someone else's stuff. And yeah, Marvel is pretty good at not doing that. I can't think of a lot that Marvel, at least the movies and TV side of things, where you're like, well, that's just the same joke.
Yeah.
That's the same idea. They're pretty good with that.
Well, I guess ultimately it really just comes down to how many people did we learn about being Skrulls in this Skrull invasion? Four?
Yeah, man.
Four people?
It's secret. It's a secret invasion.
So secret, don't
less
nobody
than
know
20
about
people. Right.
Keep it on the DL, will you? 20.
What if Rhodey came out of his imprisonment, saw the state of the world today, and begged to be locked back up?
He's like,
the
secret
blue pill, red pill thing, right?
Secret invasion is on the air. Please lock me back up. I don't need this.
I was in Hotel Rwanda, GD.
I know this steak isn't real, but my brain Please thinks speak. It is.
I had this dream where I was Miles Davis. He just dreams and it's all of Don Cheadle's roles.
Oh, that is great.
I was a British bank robber.
You don't even
want
to know what I was doing when I was like a cowboy with dreadlocks.
21.
Algae rhythm. Is there ever going to be a Marvel Disney Plus show that people will universally love, or is it too late at this point?
It's too late. Haters have formed.
I was going to say, do you guys know what I mean by that? Like there's a certain level of thing that's happened. At least it feels like to me with the Marvel side specifically, because like you said, so you put it so well, Bruce, when you're like, Marvel doesn't have a Mandalorian, and that is literally the difference. If they had something that was a great big bullet in their gun, they could at least hold on to that. They don't have that.
Yeah, something that you can just point back and go like, this other stuff sucked, but we got this one.
And, yes. And it's one thing if like you don't have something, but the people that do have it, your audience isn't going to be checking out, so they're not going to be comparing you to it. But mm-hmm. This is going to be one for one, the same audience.
Yes.
And you'd think you'd be able to retain some of them, but it doesn't feel
like,
that
like
way
you
for
could
sure.
Say, hey, don't compare us to The Boys because we're not Amazon Prime. Disney Plus can't do what The Boys do. And you say, fine. But they can't say don't compare us to The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Agreed. And I think that a lot of it has to do with just care. You know, the thing about The Mandalorian is that the people who make that show care deeply about making a good show. Whereas there is nothing here that tells me, oh man, this was my baby.
Yeah, I love Marvel. This is what I was like. I've been growing up thinking this is what I'm going to do. Something along mm-hmm. these lines. That doesn't feel like there's any kind of that passion in this at all.
At all.
Number 22. This week, while shuttling down the halls of the hospital, we hear off screen a voice yell out, "Clear the hall!" On what planet did this need to be seen, be given on screen? Are we being gaslit? Are we just trying to, like, oh no, there were tons of people in that hallway that you saw no one in?
Maybe that's their they thought if they put that line of someone yelling, "Clear the hall," then nobody would complain about how clear the hall was. Because that hall was darn clear.
There's no one in there at all. And they're just like, get everybody out. I'm like, there's not a soul in this hospital. I think the president maybe, like, did we give a bespoke one-off hospital just for this president?
There's your Marvel show, is that they keep talking about how busy this hospital is. And like, it's always jammed full of people. But
it's like
you never see anyone.
It's like before we leave the house in the morning, I say, Silas, I need you to go outside and clear out all the autograph seekers. I don't want to sign any autographs. Then I walk out after him and say, good job, son. Good job. Here's your allowance. And he won't tell me that he didn't have to do anything.
I haven't had to clear off autograph seekers in at least 3 years.
23. This question comes to us once again from a listener. And it asks, how do you think the Asgardians felt watching President Ritson declare war on all off-world born species? This comes from Larry F. Around and Find Out Trujillo from Lenexa, Kansas. Sorry, I think I got your last name wrong there, Larry.
That's hilarious.
I feel like they've already thrown this shade at the Asgardians before, particularly coming from Nick Fury around Avengers time.
It did a little bit, but yeah, it does. It did seem like so much has happened on planet Earth in these Marvel years that nothing should be surprising at this point. But at the same time, too, there are plenty of like alien people that are living on this planet at this point that a lot of people know about. And it just seems weird.
It does.
Don't be like, oh, we need to take out, like, we don't need the, you know, insert country here people around. That's what?
There's the other part to this, which is that it means nothing. This is not going to change anything in the MCU. It's going to be the exact same as it was before the show started. Maybe we get the Super Skrull, but that's about it. There isn't anything about this show that is going to make it to the next part of the Marvel universe. It's just not going to happen.
That's a very good point. It's not even going to go anywhere. So it's like, as sad as it is, you kind of go like, well, who cares? Because they clearly don't. So why should we?
There's no reward for being loyal at this point. Like,
right.
Honestly.
Right.
No, if anything, it's a punishment because you wasted time on crap that didn't matter.
Man, it really does feel like, like I said earlier, I mean, it feels like they are punishing us for watching all of it. Like, it really feels that way to me.
I love that idea.
24. I don't know about you guys, but I can't wait to see Emilia Clarke take a bigger role in the MCU as a whole. Imagine all the adventures that await. Is there anyone anywhere that said this line as Secret Invasion finished up?
Not as it finished.
Emilia Clarke's agent.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, she'll do it. Put her in some kind of a holding deal for a little while.
You want to make it look, but you want her to act like she's glad to be there? That's going to cost you.
Yeah. How good are you at CGI?
Emilia has very expressive eyebrows and ooh.
You know how she constantly has a look on her face of like of mild disdain for everything around her? That's basically what she's going to have for the next 4 Marvel movies she'll be in.
But I will say she has her fans. She has a fandom. There are people that would be excited to see her more. So
I don't dislike
like
her
to that.
I don't.
But she hasn't impressed me in the two non Game of Thrones things I've seen her in.
What have you seen her in?
She was in the one, the Solo, and then this.
Did you see her in Terminator?
I was about to say, she was Sarah Connor. Hello, like, come on.
Something told me that I didn't need to see that movie.
No, you didn't, because it was crap.
Do you want to see Arnold Schwarzenegger pretend that he is a robot that installs mini blinds in people's houses?
You kind of got me on. Like, I would watch a whole show about an alien trying to figure out mini blinds, because they're hard for me. And it's gotta be a little harder for an alien.
The weirdest thing about that movie is that it's great until the familiar faces show up.
Yeah.
And then it's no good anymore.
Was that the one with the young Arnold, or was that the other one?
No, that's the other one. It's the one, because Emilia Clarke isn't. Oh, wait a minute. I'm mixing it up now. Because Emilia Clarke is in the one with the young Arnold, and then the other one is the one where Arnold Schwarzenegger is playing a robot who sells mini blinds to people.
It's just, no one cares. It's all over. It's finished with 2 people. Let's be honest.
Because that great actress from Halt and Catch Fire is the lead in it. And she has nothing to do with the Connors, which was awesome until the Connors show up.
And then we get the Connors here. Yep. Number 25, where on earth did the $212 million production budget go? It seems like AI wasn't responsible for the opening credits, but the entire script. If Samuel L. Jackson and Olivia Colman didn't each walk away with $100 million, then a crime has been committed. Cheers, that comes from JT.
Is Olivia Colman a bigger deal than I realized? Like, he included her in
she
this,
just won an Oscar, so.
Yeah.
What did she win it for? Was it the women talking movie?
No, it was for the one where she's all sick. Dang it. My brain's just taking a dump on me. I saw it in the theater. It's really good.
I'm really checked out on the Oscars for a while now, so I don't know.
But
she's in a movie called Professor Ding Dong's House of 1,000 Mysteries, and she won an Oscar for it.
Heck yeah.
Nice. I didn't even know that movie existed. It sounds like something I'd like.
It's I'm unwilling to look it up, but she did. She's great in this.
Ding dong, is that with a capital two capital D's?
I don't know.
Is ding dong one word or two?
I just come up with the gold.
Ding dong is hyphenated.
She's great in this. And she is so good in it, in fact, that any scene she's in, she lifts the other actors in the scenes she's in. That cannot be said of just about everyone else on this show.
But that also said, the character kind of sucks. It ain't her fault, but the character's written poorly, and we don't really get much of anything out of it. I don't know.
They made her so interesting at the beginning of this series, and then they completely screwed the pooch like midway.
I don't know. I don't know. That character's just nothing. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
But JT, to answer your question, where did the 212 go to? Look to see how many producers are on Secret Invasion, and there's your answer.
Kevin Feige's name comes real big in that front credits there.
I'm willing to bet that he don't come cheap.
So, wow, she actually won for The Favorite, one that you and I have talked about before.
Yeah, there you go. The Favorite. That was her. I couldn't remember the name of it.
But she gets nominated apparently all the time.
Professor Ding Dong's House of a Thousand Mysteries.
She's been good.
Yeah.
Number 26, Bruce.
Oh, my goodness. I went away from my questions for a minute. So in 1997, Fury invites the Skrulls to Earth, promising that he'll find them a home world. Very quickly, he realized no other world would take the Skrulls. And so for almost 20 years, he kept that secret from his best friend, his wife, and the rest of the Skrulls. But kept using them so he could become director of S.H.I.E.L.D. After the blip in 2018 and his return in 2023, he went to work on Saber and still didn't say anything to the Skrulls. And now, after the events of Secret Invasion, there is now a race war and the Skrulls are being slaughtered across the planet. Fury is just going to zip off to his off-planet space station and not do a thing to help the Skrulls, other than his wife. Do I have that right? Thank you to Adam, Bruce, and Sean for your very entertaining podcast. And that's Andrew in Edmonton. Hey, Andrew. Go Oilers. Yeah, man. They make Fury look kind of crummy with this story.
They have, I believe that with this series, they may have just destroyed Nick Fury as a Marvel MCU character.
Like, all and that's named Nick. It'll be like one of those names like Adolf that you just can't use
anymore. I can't say that anymore. It's no good. But it's just, yeah. This, Andrew, this is like the question of the week, man, because we've made Nick Fury crap. And it really sucks.
It does.
I hate it.
It does, because you know, I think that it completely hurt itself. The AI that wrote this series completely hurt itself by the fact that, you know, you're trying to get across that that Nick Fury contains multitudes, right? Because anything that we ever saw him do before was always the correct choice, and he would keep his thoughts to himself, and so he's kind of the coolest guy in the room whenever he's on screen. And unfortunately, once you start expanding on this character, then you see the flaws, and that hurts this character. Seeing flaws is fine if they enrich the character and make the character more interesting. Like, let's say Adam Eve and the new Adam Eve show miniseries thing, one shot that's on Amazon right now. You should totally watch that show. This is not a commercial. And we did a podcast about it this week. We don't know much about Adam Eve until that one shot that we got this week. It enriches the character. It makes the character vastly more interesting. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, I wanted to know less and less and less about Fury as we went on in this series. You know, like you had pointed out earlier, Adam, knowing that he isn't special in any way, that he basically just tricked a bunch of Skrulls into getting all his information, so he appeared to be magical. Like, that's crap. You have to make this character exceptional in some way. And it took all of the exceptionalism out of this character.
Yeah, we've never in over 10 years, we never got to see Nick Fury be Nick Fury, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Very true.
27.
How excited are you guys to watch Loki season 2, which comes out in a few short weeks?
Okay. I am at least a little bit interested in that, because I'll put it to you this way. Number one, it's a different kind of, we'll give Loki this much credit. It's different than just street level stuff. We're getting into like weird, some timey-wimey stuff. That's fine. But at the same time, too, I like to at least think of Loki season 2 like this. The table has been set. We are just, we got our first course. Now we're going in for course number 2. I liked course number 1. Let's see what course number 2 is going to, you know, involve with and everything. But for me, I'm more hopeful for a Loki season 2, I would say.
Unfortunately, I'm worried that Loki season 2 is going to be like judged by the company it keeps, and we're all just kind of soured on it. And regardless of how good the show is, people may not vocalize enjoying it as much as perhaps they would have.
Or contrastly, this show's so crap that it makes that show look like gangbusters.
I hope so, but usually when there's a turd in the punch bowl, you don't talk about how good the punch that didn't touch the turd tastes.
Yeah, but this one over in the corner, it's still good, no turd, no turd.
Almost completely poop-free in this glass.
Yeah, mostly. Now a 98%.
Try some more poop-free punch, boys. Man, I screwed that up.
I
way to go, Sean.
And like the Raisinettes or something along those lines had a thing that said, now with no bug parts. Jeez, like, you mean there were in the past? Oh, gosh.
Well, those all were right. The bits
what
I liked.
What if the bugs made it good?
Yeah, that was the best stuff.
It adds a little spice to it. Sean, are you interested in the Loki season 2? I mean, obviously.
I am interested in it just because I think what they did, the Loki was my probably favorite Marvel TV series so far. I like what they did with that. I like all the interesting concepts to that show. Clearly the actor cares about the character,
mm-hmm.
and the people who were involved had some really good ideas going into it. I think that there's a couple of problems with the first season of Loki, but there's far less problems with that than there is with this. Like, think about how easy it was to write questions for Loki season 1 versus coming up with questions for Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
Like all of my Secret Invasion questions are basically, why does this suck so bad? Like, it's just a variation on that.
Loki seems like, you know, that they're going to at least, you know, have some fun with it. Like, that's, it seemed like they enjoyed making that first season.
But am I looking forward to Loki season 2? No. It's the thing that when it comes to Marvel TV, it's the thing that has the best shot to be good, but that doesn't mean anything anymore.
It's like if I'm on an elevator, I get in on the ground floor, I'm going to the 8th floor, the elevator stops on the 5th floor and it opens up, and the 5th floor is a beautiful floor, sure, fine. I would have been just as happy if I'd went nonstop to my floor. Like, you know, that's kind of where I'm starting to feel. This all
yeah,
feels
the
like
ding
stop.
And there's nobody there. You're like, I could have done without that stop.
Yeah, that's what all it's like. Yeah, sure. That floor may look beautiful through the doors when they open up, but it's just feels like an obligatory.
That's not where I'm supposed to be. I got to keep going. Exactly.
Show me where skateboards are.
5th floor, skateboard lingerie. Question number 28. We've complained a lot about this show, and for good reason, we think at least. But we don't want to be the people that complain about the show and have no rectification plans in place. What would you have done to make this show more interesting to you?
I would have added some scale. Like I said before, it starts small, but then by the end, it's just huge and it's everywhere. Instead of start small, stay small.
You know, and they could have done basically what The Matrix does, the first Matrix movie, where there's a gigantic world that's happening around them, but they basically focus on three people in a spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have done that with the show and you didn't. But the thing that I think is that you make this not so self-serious, and you make this where like give him all of that James Bond stuff. You know, we only got that one time with this series. He's Nick Fury. Like, give him cool gadgets.
Gadgets, all of that stuff. Guns, even. Like, how often does he even shoot a gun within this, within the series, within Marvel as a whole?
There's just the mausoleum in Finland, right, where he's got all that neat stuff in there. But it's not even special stuff. It's just a gun and an eye patch and money. And it's like, you know, like he's pulling this stuff out of a mausoleum, which makes it neat. But like, where is your fun stuff? Where is your grappling gun? Where is your laser?
And it's not like Sam Jackson is a boring milquetoast person, right? He's exciting. He's a funny guy. Why there's zero humor in this at all. And he's somebody who's like, and again, the Nick Fury character has been funny throughout the years. But not a stitch of it here, I don't think, save for a liner. The one really good line is, I know a lot of good looking Skrulls and you ain't one of them. That's the funniest line in this entire series.
That is a good line.
But that's about as fun as you get for the most part. Number 29.
My mind would wander a lot in the show because I was not invested in anything they were doing. In the end, I saw Sam Jackson kissing Grogu. Am I the only one who saw this? Thanks for everything to Reverend Bob.
I thought this is such a great question because this is a show that you could go a long time and because there are so many boring parts that you are not passing the phone test and you look up at the end and it's just like, wait, where the hell is this going? Huh?
I'll be honest. I didn't see Sam Jackson kissing Grogu. I saw Mace Windu kissing Grogu.
Kissing Grogu, who was once his mom in another movie. What?
It's a shame that there aren't more people willing to be actors because they have to keep using the same people in all these roles.
I just, honestly, though, as weird and everything as the kiss with Lady Skrull here was and everything, part of me sat there and went like, you know what? I wish we'd have just gone in full bore to this because that would have been an interesting thing is to have Sam Jackson be in love with the Skrull and have that be some sort of duality thing where he wants to help but can't help it, but the love of his life. There's none of that. This, as far as I'm concerned, the relationship with her is almost next to nothing. They're like, oh, they're man and wife. In what sense?
Yeah,
I don't care. You created a whole bunch of characters I don't give two craps about. And that's a sin.
Are we still on 29 or 30? I had to walk.
We're 29.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the part of the problem with the show is that because it was written by AI, it's completely forgettable, right? Mm-hmm. So like you don't have anything to hold on to with any character on the show. Like when I see Samuel L. Jackson's Nick Fury in the Marvels coming up, I don't know how much I'm going to remember. And that's just 2 months from now.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much I'm going to remember of basically 6 hours of this.
I swear on everything. If his wife ain't in that movie, I'm going to throw a brick.
I would say that, I guess the last thing I'm going to say about the AI part of this all is that if AI did write this, it's a good thing for the Writers Guild. But if humans wrote this, it's a bad thing for us. So I'm hoping AI wasn't.
This is a lose-lose situation, no matter how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's wrap up this season and our lovely lives with question number 30.
Number 30. Guys, we're here.
Woo!
In an interview with CBR, showrunner Ali Salim said that there are currently no plans to continue with a Secret Invasion season 2. Are you hoping for a let's pretend none of this ever happened sort of approach like Marvel seems to be doing with the Eternals?
I think Marvel is heavily invested into the Armin Tamzarian approach to making television and movies at this point.
Plus, in 10 years, they can bring all the forgettable characters back in something. We'll all find it charming suddenly. It'll be the next Andrew Garfield.
Yep. Have like a little reference back there, but like, oh, we don't talk about them times.
Do you think that they're going to continue making Marvel movies in 10 years?
In some capacity, IP sticks around, you know?
Yeah.
But it won't be like what we're dealing with now.
No.
Yeah, they might get us down to like, one a year and then maybe one every other year, which again, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
And like, because when that Mandalorian season 2 dropped, because we had a longer wait than what would normally be a regular season, you were jonesing for that Mando season 2.
And, you know, the people aren't going to be able to get away with the old Warren Beatty, Dick Tracy approach to keeping your rights. So Sony will have to make Spider-Man movies, whether they want to or not.
Oh, no, they want to. They just don't know how to do it or what.
Like, they don't know how to do it well. Yeah.
Oh, let's make a Kraven the Hunter movie. The kids want to see Kraven the Hunter. And what's the other broad?
Pop Pete. When's he get his?
What's
broad.
That spider lady? What's the spider? Scarlet Spider? No, damn it.
No.
What's the lady Madam one? Webb. Madam Web. It's all the same crap. It's the things that no one will ever watch in a million years. But we still pretend like they will. Can you believe H&P's shifting tones?
And then we boned.
And then we boned.
There you go.
That is it, everybody. We got another 30 questions finished up, a whole season. And again, big giant thank you for you guys chiming in big time for this last episode of the season.
Man, you did a lot of heavy lifting this year, guys. Thank you very much.
It's been a bit of a slog, but we appreciate you guys coming in and helping out and realizing that, you know, a lot of people saying, listen, I haven't written a whole bunch of questions. What could I really ask? But I do love the show. I am listening to the show. So we have those people. So we really appreciate that. And of course, you know, we'll talk Loki season 2 back in October. Maybe we'll have had the this taste wash out of our mouths by then, and we can have a little bit better of an enjoyment of a second season of Loki. We'll see how that works. In the meantime, Bruce, where can we find more of your work on the internet?
You can check out my YouTube channel, Bruce Leslie, on YouTube, or you can also search by the handle at Anime Dad, and also on TikTok at Bruce Leslie AD, I think. And yeah, just look around. I'm always up to something.
Bruce Leslie AD does sound like a good bio.
Man, that's
title
an awesome,
for you, doesn't it?
That's an awesome name for a channel.
Bruce Leslie AD.
Bam! Bruce Leslie AD.
Hell yeah. Sean, what else?
We have a far more successful podcast than this one called Hero Movie Podcast, where each week we review some new thing. And this week it was Adam Eve / Invincible / The first one.
The specialist episodes.
And it's so surprising how much I love that thing.
Yeah, if you want to see one hour of a superhero thing that's better than the 6 hours of superhero that we got here, that's what you need to go check out.
Watch it just for the action scenes alone. It's just great.
An animated action scene is better than the entirety of the action in this series. That's saying something, everybody. That is it, everybody. That will do it for this season of Secret Invasion 30 Questions. Join us on this feed for Loki season 2 and another 30 questions for Bruce Leslie, Sweet Sean's Kovacs from the internet. I'm Anna Portress reminding you until then, you're all suspect. I'm Anna Portress reminding you until then, you're all suspect.
Still your best closer, man. Maybe the train whistle, but this is a really good one.